Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 185. It's just me and Jared this week, and this might be a little shorter podcast than usual, recording super late in the day.
Yep.
But that's okay. There were...
in one of those days.
One of those days. I guess it was one of those days because of all the Papers, Please drama, which is actually the first game that I have to talk about on my list.
Let's do it.
I don't know, should we talk about the game first or the drama first?
Let's talk about the game for context.
Okay. So Papers, Please is a game that came out in 2013 on the PC and then shortly thereafter, I think, on Mac and Linux in like early 2014. It's one of those kind of, I don't mean this in a nasty way, but it's kind of one of those like snooty indie games in a way. In that, like, the game itself is almost intentionally not fun. And that sounds terrible, like, describing it that way. But, like, the purpose of the game is to kind of give you an idea of what it's like working at this highly controlled, border control kind of thing in a kind of dystopian military police state sort of setting, right? So what you do, people want to come into your country and you have to check their documentation to see whether or not, they're allowed. And you have this, as the game progresses, like there's more and more stuff that you need to check. And, they'll hand you, for instance, like their passport or whatever. So in the early stages, they'll hand you their passport. You look at your passport reference guide to see, if the stamps match or other information is correct and things like that, at which point, you either boot them out or you let them in.
So the gamey part of it is more or less kind of like recognizing what will allow them to go in and what won't.
Right.
And it changes, right? Like it's constantly changing by day.
They add more stuff each day. Like you initially just need to make sure that like the photos match, and then you need to make sure the passport stamps match, and then it just kind of goes on from there and adds like all these neat little things. Like it's one of those games where like it's almost like hard to talk about because it'll
kind of wreck it.
I feel like this game throws so many things at you that it's kind of better not knowing what's coming. So in that way, like I'm always kind of reluctant to talk about, they eventually introduced this and then there's all these secrets and all that crap. It's just it's a game that initially does not seem like very much fun, but you just got to like power through it because you'll download it and be like, oh, this is actually really stupid. Like, this is just a matching game basically.
But it's like a make you think game more than anything.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it because it's kind of making a political statement of sorts about like warring countries and things like that. And, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a lot of like weird little surprises and kind of emergent stuff that happens, and your actions in the game can result in up to 20 different endings.
It's a lot of endings.
Yeah, what's cool about it is that especially with Telltale games, I feel like you've been playing so many Telltale games recently between Tales from the Borderlands and Game of Thrones and stuff like that. And we've talked about this before, where Telltale almost needlessly emphasizes particular decisions you make with, so-and-so will remember that or whatever, right? I think that the real clever part about this game is that they don't do anything like that. It's just like you play through the whole game and then like the things that you do have rippling effects that you don't really see until the ending.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, I definitely do not have the patience to play through the game 20 times to try to get all the endings, but it is kind of neat that because like with that many endings, it's like you could play through the game, two or three times, and there's a very, very, very good chance you would not see the same ending twice.
Right.
I think is pretty neat, So it's iPad only.
Cool, it's on iPad. I'll probably actually play it now that it's on iPad.
it's iPad only, and it's really well suited to the iPad, much like FTL, this is a game that just feels like the first time I played it, like, oh, this is an iPad game. Like, why am I playing this on my mouse kind of thing?
Yeah. Because, you're kind of like shuffling papers and passports and stuff around like a desk sort of area.
Right.
Right. So it just makes sense to be using your actual fingers instead of like a mouse and pointer or whatever.
Yeah. The iTunes text mentions something about unlocking like multi-touch mode, which I don't really know how to do yet. But
that's interesting.
I could see that kind of speeding things up, or you know, changing the game around a weird way, because like the game's designed for you know to like have a mouse click on something to drag it and things like that, and like being able to do two things at once is kind of crazy. So there's story mode and endless mode. Endless mode, you know, you just basically go until you fail. In story mode, you kind of discover all the weird little emergent things in the game and things like that. And the one thing that has been spoiled because of all the recent drama is the fact that you eventually have body scanners that come up. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, as part of the game is like the border gets tighter and you need to start actually doing these kind of like full body scans to search for, you know, contraband or whatever they call it in game. And in the PC game, the people are nude. Like that's, you know, that's, it's all, I mean, like you know, when you think like nude people being body scanned, like it's a, if you haven't seen screenshots of it, it's a highly pixelized, like pixel art stylized game.
So and it almost looks like even in real life, those body scanners, you know, they're nude or whatever, but they're like, it's not like a picture.
Right.
It's almost like an X-ray or something. It's very like strange looking.
Yeah. So, like the PC game has these, and you know, I guess they're not, nothing about this game is like sexual by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you know, you're allowing people into your country or not allowing into their country, and they're just like normal people. You know, like old men, old women, things like that. So,
unless you have a dystopian future fetish,
yeah,
which sure does.
I can't imagine a situation where this would be like sexualized on any level or anything like that. But anyway, so he submitted the game to the app. I guess we found out that it was coming on what, like Wednesday afternoon or something, when the developer just like tweeted a photo of it running on his iPad and said Friday.
Yeah.
Which is always a fun way to find out about a game. But anyway, so as part of this dude's Twitter announcement, you know, like he made another couple comments to other people and, you know, just tweeted a couple more times in his feed and stuff like that. And one of the things that came out was that the nudity in the game had been removed, you know, because of the Apple approval process or whatever like that. And at the time, that was all the information that was out there. It was like, the game's coming. It's not going to have any nudity in it because, you know, Apple approval guidelines. Yeah, that was the story, like full stop there. Okay. So naturally, on the internet, when you can combine Apple censorship and Apple, like, you know, any kind of Apple hatred, I guess I should say, like, censorship and Apple, which when you combine them together, you get that, you know, super juicy "I hate Apple, they're censoring everything" headline.
Yeah.
Which, like, seriously caused, like, everyone to post about this because it was just, like, it was just too good to pass up for, like, if you spin that, if you spin the story that way and that, like, oh, here's this dystopian future kind of simulator game thing that, you know, is too hot for the App Store because it has naked people in it in the, like, TSA-style body scans. Which,
but everyone loves to be like, oh, Apple, you're so prudish.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's like the perfect storm of a story for people that don't like Apple, right?
Or it was posted on all Apple sites. I mean, you presume it's people that like Apple, but they just love to get outraged.
I mean, I wasn't even really going to mention anything about it until, like, I woke up this morning and saw it hit the App Store, you know, like 6 a.m. or something like that. And, you know, I was writing a post on it, and I was, like, actually looking for screenshots. So, you know, I typed in, like, I always get my screenshots from App Shopper, I'm sure is an easier way. But, you know, I just went to Google, typed in Paper Please App Shopper. And then in, like, the, you know, it comes up, obviously, like, first, but in the Google News stuff that always shows up, it was like all these Please censorship posts. So I was like, oh, well, let me read these and all this crap. So I was like, all right, well, if this is coming a thing, I guess I'll just mention
it. It's a good way to start your day.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, I was like, if this is becoming a thing, I guess I might as well at least acknowledge it in the post. You know, otherwise the commenters are going to be like, oh, you know, what the fuck? You always don't care about Apple censorship, all this shit. Yeah. So that kind of backfired anyway because people got all worked up over your whole censorship aspect. And
I think it was maybe 10 or 15 minutes after you posted that that the tweet went out that was like, oh, they're letting me resubmit it with nudity.
Well, no, actually, so the next thing that happened was someone actually bothered to contact the developer.
Oh, yeah. than the Ars Technica.
Yeah, this is like my favorite thing about how the internet news cycle works right now. It's like, oh my God, tweet, I can sensationalize, like, let's go nuts. And then after that, it's like, oh, maybe I'll email the guy and like ask him what's going on. So Ars Technica posted a thing that I actually thought was pretty interesting, because they actually talked to the developer, and the developer more or less says, and again, this is after all the comment threads of people being like, oh my God, what point is there playing this game without the nudity? Because like, it's supposed to be there to like show you just how terrible things are and all this crap. So like, you have all these people just like, you know, spinning their tires in the mud of this drama. That then the Ars Technica thing comes out, and the dude basically says like, he doesn't feel that the lack of nudity is a serious burden on the game. And
yeah,
he kind of goes on.
He more or less dealt with the fact that, you know, it got rejected with like a shrug and like, yeah, oh, okay.
That was the thing. So like,
he was more worried about it getting rejected for like having kind of political undertones.
Right. Which I think is reasonable, because like they, App Store, you know, they have rejected things that are, you know, like very stupid political stuff. Like around the time of the election, I remember a lot of stuff getting rejected that was, you know, like throw a pie at Obama or, you know, dumb crap like that. So I think it's reasonable to think that like, oh, you know, if they don't like political stuff, like this is kind of, even though it's kind of made up, like it's fringe content matter, which might, you know, upset someone, I guess. But so that's what he was concerned about. And then when Apple came back and was like, yo, you know, no nudity, this is pornographic, he was basically just shrugged, like you said, and was like, all right, you know, fine. Like the PC version already has a no nudity mode. Like I'll just, you know, resubmit it with that just enabled and take it out. That was kind of the end of it. And, you know, like, what was interesting about, like, when the news first blew up, and, you know, this wasn't necessarily limited to our comments, but most places across the internet, like, everyone was putting words in this dude's mouth and everything else. And then it was just kind of amazing to read the Ars Technica thing and see that the dude was like, no, you know, like, I understand they've got rules and things like that. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right? Like, which is crazy because, like...
Well, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Right. I mean, like... But the thing is, if this dude decided to spin this the other way and be like, oh my God, Apple censored my game, like, you know, this is just too hot for the App Store and all this crap, like that would have just been like so sensational that no one could pass up posting like again about it, you know, because like here you have even more information about this thing. And you know, like the whole time I was kind of like personally kind of maintaining the stance that like, yo, it seems weird to call this censorship, because like, the way that the App Store process works is, you know, you submit something to the App Store, what seems like, and you know, Apple never ever says how all this stuff works, but you know, watching what has to have been, you know, tens of thousands of apps now go through our forums and people talking about their different, you know, approval process, drama steps, things like that. What seems like it happens is you submit your app to the App Store and then it goes through like a very cursory, quick once over on like, you know, a tier one support level kind of person. Yeah. Right. And at that point it's like stuff gets rejected, you know, based on like nudity or, you know, using trademarked icons or, you know, it seems like they're looking for things that are just on a checklist. And like, if your cursory once over doesn't include anything on that checklist, you know, here you go, fine, whatever. If it does include stuff on the checklist, typically you get rejected. And then the next step from there is, if it's something legitimate that you need to change, you go back and, you know, tweak it and then resubmit it. Otherwise, if you know, you have a kind of if you have a disagreement on like how Apple is interpreting the iTunes rules versus how you're interpreting the iTunes rules, like that's where the appeals process comes in. So, you know, if the guy cared about the nudity in the game at this point, like next step when you get a rejection is filing appeals, like escalating and being like, hey, you know, this isn't actually pornographic. Like, you know, I don't know how much time they spent with the game, but it's, you know, it's not sexual at all. It's to show like how dehumanizing like this kind of security procedure is. At which point, you know, Apple probably would have come back and been like, oh, all right, cool. You know, like, sorry for the misunderstanding, you know, blah, 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 kind of thing. And that would have been the end of it. Right. But the dude didn't really care. So after.
Well, he even said, he was like, you know, it got that initial rejection. I said, okay, kind of disabled the nudity thing and resubmitted it because he didn't want to mess with his release date. So he's like, well, I'm going to release it in this state, but I'm still going to appeal after the fact and try and get the full version released. I think if I had a chance to like talk one-on-one with somebody and explain, it would be okay. but I don't really have time for that now. I just resubmit it because I want to make sure it gets out before this date or whatever. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? He was planning on appealing and doing all that stuff anyway. I'm sure that all this heat generated from all the media stuff might have made Apple's phone call come a little quicker, but I feel like they were going to contact him or he was going to contact Apple either way, and it probably would have got resolved, you know, even if it was like 2 weeks from now or something like that.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to miss the Christmas rush. I mean, that would have been disastrous.
But like tons of people are all like, we did it.
Yeah. <that's...
laughs> we complained and we made Apple change their mind and all this stuff. And Apple was real clear in being like, no, it wasn't the pressure. It was that we recognize we screwed up and we want to make it right. We've reached out to the dude. We're going to make it right. But no, it wasn't because we're like bending over to this pressure of all these reports.
I mean, honestly, like people posting about probably just got it on Apple's radar without dude needing to say anything. That's all that happened. You know, it wasn't like,
yeah. I imagine it would have all went down whether anyone posted about it or not.
Right. It was just a matter of like whether the dude went through the process or whether someone at Apple sent an email to someone being like, hey, did you see this on Polygon? Like, is this right? Kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't know. Anyway. That's
drama-rama.
Yeah. So Apple admits is, you know, just a simple mistake kind of thing and, you know, invited him to resubmit it. So the dude's going to do that this weekend. And it's hard to say whether or not it'll be, you know, out before the iTunes freeze, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is because it's kind of turned into a high profile thing.
Well, beyond all of that stuff too, like, let's say Apple wanted to reject it and wouldn't allow it with that nudity on there. I don't fucking care. It's your store, Apple. Do what you got to do. Well, people act like so offended and it's like, well, if you feel like you have to have that full version, then go play it on PC. Like, I don't get pissed off that my movie theater doesn't play porn and I got to go to some porn-specific theater to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. That movie theater plays the movies that they feel is appropriate.
Yeah.
Apple approves of things they feel is appropriate. It's not really, you know, you got to pretty much play by their rules. You know what I mean? And that's that. And there's ways you can go about not having to deal with rules at all by releasing on other platforms and stuff like that. But so many people act like, oh, Apple, you're so stupid and you're so censoring and this, I don't know. It just drives me nuts because it's like, well, yeah, it's their store.
I mean, I think
just like if somebody wanted to come into your house and completely naked, you might be like, hey, please leave.
Yeah.
My kids are home and you're walking into my house naked. I need you to leave. They'd be like, oh, you're censoring me, homeowner.
Yeah, I posted a thing in our comments. Like, you know, we actually had across all three stories, like pretty good.
That,
That was
your first mistake.
Well, yeah. but no, I posted that like, I was like, you know, I feel like the reason that people are getting so wound up over this is because the word like censor and censorship is like a trigger word for internet people, you know, like really there's nothing that pisses people off more than, oh, this is being censored or whatever, regardless of who's doing it. So I was like, you know, here, apply the situation to like, you know, buying lunch today at McDonald's or whatever and being like, hey, you know, I want a cheeseburger, no pickles. They give you a cheeseburger with pickles. You know, you open up when you're in your car, you sit down or whatever, and there's pickles on it. And it's up to you then to decide, all right, well, do I go up and, you know, they will gladly give me a new hamburger or, you know, fix it or whatever else. All I have to do is say something or just shrug and eat it because, like, it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at, because, like, that's basically what happened here with the dude not really doing anything. So, like, how can, you know, like, when you look at that situation, but apply it to, you know, like, some other, like, everyday situation, it's like, who fucking cares? Like, they would have fixed it if you would have said anything. So, like, how can you be pissed at the McDonald's dude or Apple or whatever else?
Yeah. Like, saying he didn't have a release planned and this rejection stuff happened and he appealed and did everything first and then was like, oh, it's coming, you know, made the announcement, it's coming out to iPad. Then no one would have even realized the whole process that went on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The fact that it kind of came out during, you know what I mean, has caused it to kind of blow up or whatever. And I wonder if he regrets tweeting about it.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Because everybody latched on to that one tweet that said it got rejected because of pornographic content or whatever. And to me, I see pornographic content and I don't think somebody at Apple looked at those pictures and was like, this is porn. I think somebody saw nudity and that's the flag for that is pornographic, objectionable, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't, you know, a lot of people are taking this to be that Apple thinks that the images in that game are actually pornographic. And I don't think anybody actually thinks that at all.
No, right. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, like you said, if that's just kind of a mandatory flag. And like, all that could really mean is like, you know, here's your initial rejection. All you have to do is escalate to like the next person. And like that person might be the person that signs off being like, oh, this is okay. Or whatever else or whatever, which really makes me wonder if like the initial approval process isn't way more automated than a lot of people think. Like, I wonder if
it has to be
like, because
it has to be.
You think that like maybe they just like snoop through your code or whatever to make sure that you're not calling any APIs you're not supposed to, and then look at all your assets and see if there's any like graphics in there.
I think that's,
you know,
basically exactly what they do on that first pass, because I think people realize how many games come out a day, but you know, App Shopper alone, like in a normal 24-hour period, 300 to 400 games, just games.
Oh yeah.
That's not utilities, that's not entertainment, that's not any other apps. So combined with everything else. And I know there's more games in there than there is any other type of thing, but you know, let's say all apps combined, 1,000 new apps a day. People can't be looking through every single one of those. It's just not possible. So it has to be automated on some level. And so I imagine that's probably what flagged his first rejection. And that's probably why it said something that wasn't quite appropriate by calling it pornographic. You know what I mean? But it was probably just kind of like a standard flag or whatever. But I don't know. People really ran with it. So
yeah. I don't know. That's kind of one of those things that's just like, I don't even know. I don't even know what you can even do about that as Apple, because like the fact of the matter is, you know, like you know, you bring up App Shopper. It's a good example to look at stats. I mean, like on the App Shopper front page on the top right side, you know, we're pushing up to 2 million apps that have been approved by Apple. So of those apps that have been approved, and you think of the ones that there's been like, you know, any kind of drama to, you know, raise any sort of alarm on the approval, you're talking to like, you know, a small handful of apps that compared to the 2 million that have just been approved is like, you know, that's not even, you know, a fraction of a percent that is significant in any scientific manner at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's
I guess the conclusion of this is like, you know, could Apple improve on the approval process? Like, yeah, sure. But like at the same time,
totally.
You know, it seems to be working pretty well for the other, you know, 1,999,999 apps that aren't Papers, Please.
I think people
this week,
we've seen this happen a lot, and but people really knee-jerk react to this sort of thing too, where they want to immediately run with the whole like censorship story and stuff like that. But I mean, this has happened before too, where, you know, sometimes it's a process where you have to go back and forth with kind of like one of the actual people on the approval team and work with them and get to a point where you can get your game approved or whatever, or maybe they end up ultimately rejecting it for whatever reason or whatever. But you know what I mean? There is like a dialogue that takes place.
Yeah.
And there is like steps that you can take.
Yeah.
But everyone kind of takes it as face value. It's like, oh, you were rejected like because Apple is this prude, censor, horrible, you know, evil corporation that doesn't like free speech. And, you know, you want to go off on all these tangents where it was like, dude, you don't know the full story yet, you know?
Yeah.
So wait until you've appealed, talked to everyone you know, and they still reject it, and then maybe your opinion about it.
That's the thing. Like, if that's actually what happened, this dude would have such a massive story, it'd be insane.
Yeah.
You know, like actual substance and things like that, but that's not
the
case at all.
I agree the approval process could be better and all that stuff, and I do agree that Apple steps in sometimes when it will piss other people off and does, you know, I don't know if censorship is the right word, but, you know, they have a strong opinion on what they want to let into their store and what they don't, just like any retailer should have the right to do.
Right.
The way you react to that is kind of like up to you, but for the most part, I don't really care. Like, I remember when the snuggle truck thing happened, and, you know, originally it was a game about, like, you know, sneaking Mexicans across a border, and Apple didn't like that. And so they made them change it to snuggle truck with all the teddy bears in the back of the truck that you're sneaking over the border, which that like completely ruins the point of that game, although it was still a fun game. But a lot of people still bring that up when stuff like this happens. And I'm like, I don't care, dude. Like, Apple doesn't want to have a game about sneaking Mexicans over a border. Like, I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me seems like something you should be able to say, no, we don't really want a game about that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's kind of, I mean, what people don't understand about this is I feel like the approval process is 100% Apple controlling their platform to avoid PR nightmares.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for instance, like Smuggle Truck is a good example. Like, you know, say for instance, they would have approved Smuggle Truck, and like the next day there's some giant, totally ridiculous expose on Fox News about how you know, now you can play a game on the App Store where you're smuggling Mexicans across the U.S. border and
all that Apple stuff. Wants to tear down our borders and let in illegal aliens.
Stuff like that. Just like, you know, the reason.
You got to protect your neck.
Yeah, the reason they reject things that have, you know, like dicks in them basically is because they don't want the headline of like child downloads porno game on App Store and, you know, things like that, which I don't know. It's understandable. I mean, with how huge, you know, Apple's a company is, how big the App Store is, like they have to do these things. Like, I don't think it's because they're evil. It's just out of necessity or anything else. And
And I mean, if you don't want to play, if you don't like their rules or whatever, like,
go somewhere else.
Release on Android.
Yeah.
Release a web game, release a Steam game, like, do whatever. It's not like you can't go make the game you want to make and the way you want to make it. It's just like you can't put it in the App Store that way. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. People think that that's some sort of bad thing and Apple's bad for doing that, but I disagree.
Yeah. I mean, no one, like, I feel like you would have a reasonable argument if Apple suddenly decided, like, if Apple was as open as Android and then tomorrow they're like, we're doing this lockdown App Store thing. And, you know, you'd already invested in the platform and all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is this has been the story from day one. And arguably Apple's gotten more open since, you know, over the years.
I believe so. But I do agree. A lot of people are saying that it's just some of the things that were ticking them off about this story in particular is that just the inconsistency. They'll point to, like, the game The Wolf Among Us has, like, bare-breasted woman in it. And, you know, I kind of agree with that. They are pretty inconsistent. But I think that goes, again, back to it being a highly automated system and then maybe the second tier where you actually do have real people getting involved really just varies on which person you get. So I've heard all sorts of stories, too, where it was like, I got rejected for this reason. I didn't fix anything. I resubmitted it and got approved the second time. I don't know why. You know what I mean? I've heard that happen before. And I can only assume that it's because somebody else saw it and kind of has a different interpretation or a different, you know, level of what they determine will need to be rejected. So,
yeah,
it could be more consistent, but I mean, it's not. And for the volume that they do, like, I feel like they do a pretty damn good job approving apps.
Yeah. And, you know, people say, you know, make the argument too of, you know, Apple doesn't allow this sort of stuff on their App Store, you know, in regards to like sexual content and stuff. But like, it's just totally not true. And they make comparisons to like movies and things like that of how, you know, they should allow the same stuff they allow in movies on iTunes, which is, you know, basically everything that isn't just straight up porno on the App Store, you know? And they really do though. I mean, cause you have, it's not like games like The Wolf Among Us and Grand Theft Auto and stuff are these like sleeper titles that are sliding in under the radar. I mean, those are huge games that lots of people at Apple have played that have gotten major featuring and all that stuff. So, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things.
Let's move on from our 30-minute straight discussion of this bullshit.
You're done being an Apple apologist for the day, Jared? That's the worst part about this. It's like when you try to explain it like reasonably, it's like, oh, well, you're just an Apple apologist. You don't know what you're talking about. It's like, well, no, like, didn't you listen to everything I told you? It seemed very logical. Like, so.
Well, whenever weird things like this happen, weird stories like this, I always imagine, like, you know, what would happen if I tried to explain this to my girlfriend?
Oh, that's,
and then
that's
how
the thing.
Stupid it would sound to her who doesn't follow any of this stuff and would be like, okay, like, why is this an issue? Or, you know what I mean? Like, and so that always, like, dials me back sometimes, too, where I'm like, you know, this is only becoming a big thing because I'm engrossed in this world.
Yeah, no, I've said before, like, you know, if you're getting worked up over internet drama, like, call your grandma and explain it to her and like see
the reaction,
see what she thinks of it, and it's just you will always be met with like complete dumbfoundedness that like you're upset about this at all. So
that's a good thing.
So you played Marvel Contest of Champions. What's this all about? It looks kind of like. What's the DC one? The DC fighting game.
Injustice.
Yes. Okay.
Injustice.
Is that pretty spot on?
Yeah. You know, I would say like concept wise, it's pretty much the same idea. Like a fleet of superheroes, kind of like pared down fighting game system where you don't have complete control over your character, but you do a lot of like swiping and tapping, sort of Infinity Blade, but sort of not, like very barely like Infinity Blade, but. That's the general idea behind it. But they're actually, there's a lot of things that are pretty different between the two to the point where I like them both very much. And I'll probably keep playing both of them for the rest of my life if Injustice is anything to go by because I've been playing that for more than a year straight every single day. So anyway, Yeah, the Marvel game is pretty cool. It was in soft launch forever, and I'd been playing it kind of here and there when it was in soft launch, but a big update came out along with the worldwide release, and so now it's kind of like the final version, and I like it very much. I think the fighting system is really good. Like, you know how we talk about platforming games and how, you know, auto runners became popular because full control platformers can be tricky with like virtual buttons and stuff right. like that. So when you automate one aspect of a game like that, it can make it a lot easier, hence like an auto runner. That's sort of what they did with fighting games with both this Marvel game and Injustice, is that, you know, you're not moving your character yourself, but you are kind of, you know, throwing the punches, throwing the special moves, blocking when you need to block. And so there's like some strategy to that because you're fighting against the computer guy that's trying to beat you up. So, you know, you have to, there's still a lot of like fighting game strategy inherent, or, you know, that carries over to it, even though it's kind of stripped down and you're not moving your own character, which I think is like a good compromise for like a touchscreen game, touchscreen fighting game. So the cool thing about Marvel is has a little extra leeway in that you can dash forwards and backwards, which is kind of fun when, you know, the enemy's about to kind of like beat up on you. You can kind of dash backwards real quick and miss it, and then dash back in and throw some punches and stuff like that. You can't really do that in Justice. You're more or less just blocking or attacking. So I think that's really cool. And then it has a similar three-tier kind of special move type thing. So as you're beating up on someone, your meters are filling up, and then you can let it unleash kind of like this super special attack, or, you know, three levels of attack. And that's kind of the game. There's single player, you play through against the computer, but then there's online where you battle like people's teams that they put together. You're really just battling their ghost data or whatever, but it's still pretty fun. And then the major difference in this game, the Marvel one, is that you don't get to unlock the players that you want. You have to go through this like random lottery system.
Oh, I hate that.
Which is so annoying. So at least in Injustice, like, there's sometimes some randomness to it if you buy like a pack. So you can buy like a pack of cards for cheaper than you would if you bought a specific character, but you roll the dice on which character you're actually going to get. But if you want to spend a little bit more, you can buy that specific character. And so both these games are about amassing characters and then upgrading them and getting them to like this elite status. So it's a lot easier to focus in Injustice because you can specifically focus on like one character that you want to upgrade or whatever. You can be like, I'm going to save this much coins for upgrading this specific character. You know how much it'll cost. You know what your goal is. With Marvel, it kind of sucks because you're like, well, I got enough of this weird currency to go get a new character. And then you kind of do the roulette wheel thing and it ends up on a boner character or one that you already have. And that's another thing, is duplicate characters you can't really do anything with except sell them for currencies that go, you sell them and you get currency in exchange that can upgrade your other characters, but the currency that you use to unlock characters is a different currency. So even if you get a duplicate character, you can't be like, oh, well, let me sell them and I'll just put that towards getting another character. You can't do that because they're different currencies. So you can put it towards upgrading a different character. That's great. But ultimately, it feels like you're kind of losing out. It's more disappointing. And in Injustice, if you get somebody that you don't want or you don't need, you sell them for the same coins that you use to go buy another character. Hmm. So you can at least be like, oh, well, you know, I'm getting most of my money back by selling this dude that I can go put towards the character that I really want, or trying to buy another pack and getting the character I want. You can't really do that with Marvel, so that kind of sucks. But all that stuff aside, like, the fighting's really fun. I think there's a lot of content to play through. The multiplayer stuff's fun. Getting like my roster of characters all upgraded and stuff like that is like the real long-term hook of these games. And that's the part that's like the most frustrating because it's so random. So I don't know. It's not like ruin the experience for me or anything. I'm still having a lot of fun with it. Oh, the other thing that annoys me about this game is it's online only, and people get irate about having online connection requirements, and I generally don't care. But in this game, it's just like janky. Like, really? It takes a long time to connect initially. Moving in between menus, sometimes we'll need to reconnect, and that can take a long time. And it just really slows down the whole experience to the point where, you know, Injustice is something I'll happily play while I'm watching something on TV that I'm paying attention to. And then commercial happens or whatever, I can quickly jump in, get a couple of matches in Injustice, and then put it back down, watch my TV. I feel like I can't do that because sometimes the load times for connecting are like as long as a commercial break. It's like by the time I'm finally in a fight and fighting someone, you know, my show's back on that I want to pay attention to, and then I'm like, well, dang it. So that's the one thing that annoys me about the online connection here. But other than that, I don't know. I'm sure they'll smooth it out too with updates. They seem pretty committed to this game, and I do really like it, so I'll keep playing it. And it's free. I think if you liked Injustice, you should play it.
So as someone that loves Injustice, how stoked are you for that WWE Injustice game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was so, like, it sounds good, but like, all they've said so far is that they're making it, which is like...
Well, yeah, they've shown nothing, so who knows how close to an Injustice game it'll be, or I don't know. I can envision so many great things being a wrestling game that's kind of like Injustice, but I don't know. I mean, there's so much more to pro wrestling that's not just like striking. So, you know, how would you do like holds, or how would you do stuff off ropes, or, you know, there's a lot more movement involved than like a normal fighting game where you could be like, hey, you're just beating each other up kind of like a boxing game, and yeah, that works. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm quietly excited about it, but I want to see more before I get super excited about it or super bummed.
Yeah, I totally agree. So another game that came out this week that is pretty cool is the new Noodle Cake game, High Rise Heroes. Which, did you ever play?
How is that?
Did you ever play Bookworm Adventures?
Yes.
It's Bookworm, yes, Adventures, but the theme of the game is, I feel like, it's really odd. So it's a word game. That's, you know, very similar to kind of Bookworm Adventure-y sort of thing, in that you're finding words and doing things and working towards an objective. And the objective is to save people that are trapped in a building that's falling down because there's an earthquake.
Whoa. All right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's something about this game just seems off to me, because, and maybe it's because I'm so used to playing word games that are, you know, like kind of just like, I don't know what a good way to put it, like, I guess, jovial and overall theme, right? Because, like, yeah, for instance, you play Bookworm. The Bookworm is always super happy. He's, you know, eating worms. Yeah. Everything's like all cartoon style and stuff like that. Right. In this game, it's like, oh man, you better, you know, you better match a tile across this character portrait because, like, they're about to suffocate. Which is, I don't know.
Wow, that would stress me out. That's really fun. I need to sit down with this game. But that's interesting. I can see where you're coming from with that. I felt sort of similar about that game, The Firm, which was kind of like a, almost like a Timberman Twitch game, about, you know, buying and selling stocks or whatever. Right. And but it eventually got to a point where, you know, things got moving so quickly, and you hit the top of the screen, kind of like Tetris, and then it was game over. But the game over in that was, you're the stockbroker, and you would jump out the window and commit suicide. And then, you know, the gag was like, there's a line of people down at the bottom of the building just waiting to take over your job. So it's kind of like no big deal that you just killed yourself. They just go get themselves a new CPA or whatever. And yeah, I thought that was like pretty morbid for like a game. Like every time I lost, I was like, well, I just caused somebody to commit suicide.
Yeah, that's...
So, well, sorry, buddy.
That's what's weird about like the game mechanics itself, like, you know, the word searches and like the way the power-ups work and the way like the character power works and like all these other things in the game are really neat. It's just the theme is, I don't know, it just feels very off, because it's like these kind of word games are the kind of games that, you know, you recommend to, you know, your casual gamer friends. You know, like tell your mom, like, hey, you know, download this word game on your iPad, you probably like it. But this one, it's like, I don't know, like the theme
don't
is
play it, mom,
so strange that, like, even though it's a good game, like, I can't see myself being like, hey, mom, download this game and, like, save suffocating people from an earthquake in a weird building that no one knows why it's falling down. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's weird how a theme can play into a game so heavily like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's good. It, you know, like, I'm just nitpicking on the theme of the game. I mean, like, actual mechanics are super solid. Like, it's a really good word game and everything else. I just, I don't know. Like, if you would have told me to brainstorm 25 ideas for the setting of a word game, like
this wouldn't
earthquake,
be one of
them. Skyscraper falling down, save people before they suffocate, is not anything that would be anywhere on any list of mine ever.
Well, you know, I think it's good to have a variety of games. So,
I guess so.
There's people that are looking for a darker word game. There you go.
Yeah. Also, one last game. I mean, we've talked about this game a million times before, but the Hearthstone expansion launched on Monday, which it's cool. Like, the funny thing that happened though is that so when you launch the game and go to the store in game, to buy the new packs, the old packs are selected first. And there's like this menu. Yeah. I don't know if I'm just like super fucking intelligent or what the problem is, but I had zero issue figuring out how to buy the new cards. Like everyone else though, like it was such a, and I don't know, I read this on Reddit, so who knows how true it is, but like, I guess there were so many support requests and things like that for people buying the wrong packs of cards that they had to delay the European launch of the expansion because of like just the, they didn't have the manpower to deal with it all.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of amazing.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there has to be something to this because it happened to so many people. And like I saw,
it was like high profile streamers too, you know, like,
yeah, there's a million videos of people live on camera opening the wrong packs and then being like, what have I done? And bumming out because they've been saving money for the new cards for so long. So it's like, you know, the fact that that many people it happened to, I feel like there's more than just like, but I think the thing was, is just people were so excited and they just weren't paying attention. And they just, you know, went immediately into their normal mode of they buy packs all the time. They know what the interface looks like. They know how the process works. They hit update, updated their game, and immediately went in and start buying packs because they didn't assume that it should be any different. But when you look at it, I mean, it couldn't be any clearer.
I know, like, that's the thing. Like, I showed you the screenshot. Which. It's like,
oh, God. It's like completely different card art or, you know, back art or whatever, pack art, whatever you want to call it. Totally different. There's a whole button that gets highlighted that says, you know, goblins versus gnomes. Like, I mean, if a rational person who's not in a hurry and excited or whatever causes people to do all this stuff looks at that, they'd be like, yeah, you know, that's like putting a circle in a square peg or whatever. Like, nobody would do that. You know, this is like 5-year-old stuff. But I think it was just the fact that so many people were so excited and so impatient that it caused them to just look past that super very blatant thing that they were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think what people did is they looked at, they just selected the number of packs they wanted to hit buy and like didn't even bother to look like, oh, well, you know, these packs look the same. Like,
what am I buying?
Yeah. Explore the user interface more, read the text on my screen, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I could see being that way. I think like, I don't know if this was due to excitement or whatever, but like, I remember buying a movie that I wanted and I always buy like the widescreen DVDs or whatever. And I accidentally bought the full screen one and get home and like am super pissed off that I had this movie that
and
I'm
then
like,
you flipped it over and realized it was a 2-side DVD.
No, it wasn't one of those. But no, this was like the $5 Target special, very basic DVD or whatever. But, you know, like kind of bummed me out. But I was like, looked at the DVD case. And I mean, it's like couldn't be a bigger banner across the top that says full screen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go back to get the right one. It says widescreen. Like, duh. But, you know, for whatever reason, I was like, oh, cool movie. Grab it. Not think anything about it. Not even look at it because why bother? I think that's just kind of what happened here. But it's interesting. I think it's good that. Blizzard seems to be like compensating these people back, right? Like they're kind of giving them their money back or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like Blizzard has basically legendary tech support on like, you know, anything. To do. Yeah. I mean, because it's the same infrastructure. It does like World of Warcraft and stuff like that. So, you know, they've got that shit down. It's just, I don't know. It was just like, that was the absolute last thing that I was expecting to be like the big news story for Monday. Was
I know.
All these people that just can't figure out how to buy the right packs. But it is kind of... It's interesting from the perspective of digital goods sales because, like, for instance, you know, your DVD example is good. Like, you get home, you look at it, you're like, oh, shit, and go back to the store, and they just give you the other one. You know, it's a very simple transaction. You know, you just bring about the wrapped DVD receipt. They're like, oh, here you go. You know, here's $5 back or grab the other one, whatever. As opposed to this, it's like an instant transaction where there's not a super clear like return policy or anything else like that. So you're just kind of left like emailing Blizzard support and like,
and hoping,
which is,
well, a lot of people too were like, oh, I've been saving gold for months. It's like, damn, months worth of work down the drain in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That would suck. I'd forget.
So I don't know. The new expansion is really cool. You know, like the new cards are neat. It's fun playing right now because like, the metagame in the game had gotten so mature with the you know previous card set that it and this happens with all collectible card games in that like the card pool matures, people figure out like here's the best 10 decks that you can play. There's no point to play anything other than these 10 decks. Like, here you go, go nuts. I mean, this happens in Magic the Gathering like all the time, like towards the end of like a card set rotating out. It's like, you know, you can tell by the first two cards that someone is going to play like the entire rest of the cards in their deck, just because like people that are way better at these card games than I am have figured out like this is the complete optimal deck that, you know, you should be running, kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's cool being at a place right now where that isn't the case anymore, and people are running like all sorts of crazy stuff, and it's kind of fun and unexpected again, like playing in the beta was. So yeah, having a lot of fun playing it now, and I would totally recommend, like, even if you don't have money to play or money to buy any cards, or, you know, you don't have any gold coins or whatever, like, it's still worth checking out just because the metagame has shifted so much. Like, even if you're just playing with your old cards, like, it's still cool seeing new stuff, I guess. Right. So I don't know. That's Hearthstone, I guess. What big news stories should we hit this week? I kind of want to do a shorter pack. I guess we could talk about our giant emulator post. It's a lot of kind of, you know, I don't know if I want to say like confusion or whatever else as to why we would post something like that. But because backstory is, you know, I saw this like really great guide on Reddit, and, you know, we never really post too much jailbreak stuff. And, you know, you closed your jailbreak forum, but, you know, the motivation behind that was mostly because, like, it more than anything else, it was just causing trouble. Because, you know, there's just way better places on the internet to discuss jailbreak stuff. So all that really was ever getting posted in there is being like, hey, anyone know where I can get the IPA for, you know, whatever popular game just came out? You know, like, never really asking like straight out, but definitely like very, very between the lines veiled, like, hey, someone help me pirate things kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which just kind of got annoying. So we kind of, you know, put the nicks on it. And you know, we don't really post about jailbreak stuff because I just really don't know anything about it. And, you know, Jared doesn't jailbreak either.
Yeah.
And none of our, you know, writers really are into jailbreak at all. So it always kind of comes off as one of, like, I think it's really transparent when you don't know anything about it and you're trying to write a news story on it. Like, regardless of the subject matter. So don't really post about jailbreak. And, you know, there's always that kind of like weird, skeezy kind of like, oh, jailbreak is the gateway to piracy kind of thing that, you know, we kind of avoided and everything else. But I feel like you have a real valid case to jailbreak your phone, though, if you're in emulation. Because, you know, previously you've been able to install emulators based on the old loophole that GBA for iOS and other similar emulators were using, and that you could, you know, find some shady person online selling an enterprise certificate that allow you to install apps without the App Store. Right. And, you know, you can go hog wild actually running these, you know, apps on your phone without any jailbreaking or anything else like that. But the problem is Apple has been, at least it seems like they've been, and I don't know if it's an iOS 8 thing, that they've been able to be more vigilant because of some control in the actual iOS 8 software to, you know, lock this down tighter, or if they're just really on top of revoking certificates or what the deal is. But it's been really hard to get that working anymore. You know, to the point that, like, I've talked to the guys behind GBA for iOS and stuff like that, and like, they don't really even want to publicize their releases anymore because they just get taken down as soon as they go up. So with that in mind, I was like, you know what, we should at least post something about this, because I feel like if you're into emulation, you're gonna, like, it's one of those things, like, if you want to do something, regardless of what it is, like, you're gonna find out how to do it. I mean, the internet is, like, you know, just full of information. So at that point, it comes down to, do you want, like, as, you know, for Touch Arcade, like, do we want people to have a good guide written by someone that knows what they're talking about, linking to the actual stuff that you need to do and, like, the software you should be using and things like that? Or, you know, do we want to leave people that want to do stuff like this to just, like, searching for dodgy websites and, you know, installing weird files off YouSendit and stuff like that? So I don't know, like, I see the argument of, like, how it's skeezy to post jailbreak stuff and, you know, emulation stuff on Touch Arcade, but at the same time, like, I kind of look at it as, like, a service in a weird way to our readers of being like, hey, if you want to do this, here's the right way to do it kind of thing.
Well, there was, I mean, Touch Arcade's roots are in the jailbreak scene and stuff like that, because it's been around before there was an app store. So back in the day, it was, like posting about emulators or posting about some weird homebrew version of some game or something like that. That was like the news stories of early Touch Arcade. And that was really kind of like the whole iPhone scene before the App Store was all about that. Like, oh, cool, what cool stuff can I do with this new phone that really has like a handful of pre-installed apps, and you can't really do shit else with it.
Right.
So, you know, it was like really popular to kind of go find the apps you could do and find the jailbreak games and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not like out of our wheelhouse or anything. But like you said, I jailbroke back in like maybe late 2008, 2009, early 2009 when I had second gen iPod Touch. And I kind of ignored jailbreaking forever. And then I got a bug up my butt where I wanted to do emulators, exactly like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to jailbreak so I can look at what these emulators are like, whatever. And you buy all the emulators through Cydia. It's a pretty different process now, I think. But, you know, it worked well. It was fun. It was kind of like one of those things, like, I've done this, like, my whole life with gadgets or game systems or, like, whatever, where you sort of, like, the fun is doing, seeing if you can do something, not so much doing that thing you did.
Yeah.
And so my iPod Touch was like, cool, I have like these various emulators running, I have some games running on them, cool. Now what? They're not very fun to play with these shitty virtual buttons. Like, now what do I want to do? I got it working. It took like, you know, hours of weird research and trying to find out the right thing to do and trying to talk to people on, you know, forums and stuff like that. And so, you know, if there was the kind of guide that we just put out back then, I would be like, oh, rad, this is exactly what I need to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, more to what you were saying, I don't really jailbreak anymore. I don't really have a reason to. I did get pretty obsessed with like customizing and custom icons and themes and all that crap, which is a big reason people jailbreak. And it is kind of fun, but it's sort of like the same thing too. It's like, okay, I found this certain theme I want, and I have every, you know, custom icon for every app I own that goes along with this theme, and now everything's matching and perfect and light. And it's like, well, now what do I do? Like, you know, get interested in some other theme and start the whole process over again. And I got to a certain point where I just realized I was doing a bunch of the bullshit that goes along with jailbreaking more than I was actually playing games on my iPod. So I was kind of like, sort of over this. Like, I should just be playing all these games I have instead of like dicking around with like icons and, you know, emulators and stuff like that. So I eventually stopped doing the jailbreak thing, but.
Yeah, I don't know. What drove me nuts about this is like you cannot post about emulation without the people that are like, you know, just pointing out how illegal it is. Now you're stealing everything and everything else. Like, man, I don't know. It's one of those things.
Like, I don't know if it is or it isn't. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, all I know is that I know almost everybody I know that has a computer has emulators.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I don't know.
Almost everybody I know also grew up or around my age. Are around the same age as me and grew up on all the same systems and stuff like that and owned almost all the games that they have on emulator. You know what I mean? Like every time I'd get a game that I wanted on an emulator was like a game I loved when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, that, exactly. You
know, I wanted to play again on my laptop or whatever.
100%. So yeah. It's a emulation
thing.
It's a thing. I don't know any other big stuff that we should talk about this week.
Probably, and we're probably not thinking of it.
Just random news, you know, new games coming out. We actually have been pretty vigilant with posting about upcoming games and stuff. So, like, if that's your thing, like, definitely scroll through last week in news and things like that. So, a bunch of cool stuff coming for the holidays and things like that. Next week's probably going to be huge, a huge week for releases because it's last week before the iTunes freeze, which goes from the 22nd to the 29th. Those are both Mondays.
I'm totally looking forward to the dead first two weeks of January.
Oh yeah, me too.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for new games and stuff coming out.
I feel like all I've done is sit at my computer for weeks now. So
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's our podcast for this week. Sorry, it's a little short, but you know, we're recording late in the day, so whatever. If you want to send us an email or whatever, it's podcast@touchrk.com. If you want to find any of our stuff on the internet, just go to whatever.com/touch arcade. Probably find something. If it's not there, you can register it and pretend you're us. That's fine. So yeah, I don't know. That's about it, and I guess we'll see you guys next week.